I know that whenever Dave and I, when we believed that we needed an airplane, I mean, we sought everything. We looked up things on the internet. We spent hours and hours and hours researching which airplanes were the best economically, had the least maintenance, and all these. We didn't just go out and buy an airplane. That wasn't the way we did it. We researched it. And then we bought an airplane. And we were very fortunate. You know, it has worked really well for us. But we didn't do it blindsided. We didn't do it just because we wanted something. We done the research. Now, how many people do you know that do that today? Some people don't do that at all. They just look at something. Oh, look at that new red car. Man, that's perfect. That's exactly what I need. And you go down, you find out that sucker's $45,000. My job, I can't afford that. I can't afford that, but I want that anyway. And so you find some crazy finance company that lets you have it. And then you have to take food away from your family to pay the payments on that stupid car. And then you make payments on it for 6 months or a year, and then you everything else around you falls down. You either lose your home or you lose that vehicle, that car. That wasn't too smart, was it? It wasn't too smart at all. Now, you could have not had that lustful desires and said, well, I am making $20,000 a year. I can afford a $3,000 car. Lord, I'm going to save up my money. I'm going to do what I have to. I'm going to save the cash. And when I get the cash saved up, Lord, I'm walking in obedience to your word. Now I'm asking you to provide me a car that will be perfect for what I need. And Lord, I got $3,000 cash saved up. See, that's what I did when I needed that little Ranger pickup. I had saved up $6,000 cash. I told the Lord when I got to that point, I said, Lord, I believe I had that great big three-quarter ton, and it don't do very good on gas, about 10 miles a gallon. But it pulls a lot. You know, it's a heavy worker. But when I'm running around here getting parts, I don't need to ride something that, you know, that'll haul 10,000 pounds when I'm only going to haul 3 pounds. You know, so I need a little bitty Ranger pickup that'll haul anything light that I need to. That gets 30 miles to the gallon instead of 10. And so I said, Lord, I'm trying to be economical with your money, but I need this little pickup, and I need something that's very nice shape. I'd like to have something from a 1990 to a 1999, but I wanted to have less than, you know, than I wanted to be less than $6,000. And I'd like for it to have less than 90,000 miles on it when I buy it. So I put all that criteria in a computer and done a search, and it came back with many pickups under 90,000 miles and many of them under $6,000, but most of them had that 80, 70, 80, 90,000 miles, and this one little 2002 Ranger pickup, 15,000 miles, $5,700. I thought, that's a misprint. I'm a real man of faith. Couldn't believe that God would really do something that nice for me. So I didn't even call. But the next day I'd done the search again, and that same little pickup showed up again. I thought, Lord, a 2002 for $5,700 with 15,000 miles? That's unheard of. I'm hearing him now saying, didn't you ask me for something nice with low mileage for 50, under six? What do you think I am, son? You know, I mean, but that's where we live, isn't it? So I said, okay, Lord, I'll call these people. I called them. Yes, it had been wrecked in the front end. They had fixed it. It had been out due to the wreck and the lawsuit and everything else. The little truck had been setting up for a couple of years. And then somebody finally bought it. They fixed it. And now they're willing to sell it for $5,700. And yes, it had 15,000 miles on it. I went over and looked at it. It looked great. It runs great. It still runs great. And it's got 38,000 on it now. And I bought it for $5,700. Boy, what a buy, huh? You don't run into one of those every day, do you? But see, if you're walking in obedience to the Word, you can pray and ask God to do those kind of things, and He will bless your socks off. Now then, what if I hadn't been walking in obedience to the Word? That truck would never showed up for me. It would not have been there. I am completely convinced God specially prepared that little truck for me and this ministry. So He knew what we were going to be doing down the line. Just like you use it all the time chasing parts. Yeah, great little truck, right? Sure, it runs perfect. Now, may the Lord of peace be with you always, give you His peace, and no matter what happens, the Lord be with you all. Now then, He's going to be with you if you do all these things He told us to do. Now then, if we didn't get anything else out of that scripture, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are we supposed to do? Work. Are you supposed to do a good, hard work, good job where you work? Yes. You're supposed to be about His business. And you're supposed to do the best you can. If He makes you a secretary, you're supposed to be the best secretary those people got. If He makes you a plumber, you're supposed to be the best plumber that people's got. If you're an electrician, you're to be the best. It doesn't matter what God calls you to do, you're to be the best. You are to work hard, be about what He says. Then let's go to John 20, 21 through 23. John 20, 21 through 23. John 20, 21. He spoke to them again and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now, this John 20, 21 is an awesome statement. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And John 20, starting with verse 21. John chapter 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 20, 21. But it's on the screen. As the Father, He spoke to them again and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father," and this is Jesus talking, "as the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now, what did the Father send Jesus to do? To save the lost, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead, and to cast out demons. Is that what He sent Him to do? Obviously, that's what He sent Him to do, because He said, "I do nothing except what my Father tells me to do." And what did Jesus go about doing? Preaching the Word, saving the lost, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, and raising the dead. Is that right? That's what He did. Now then, if the Father sent Him to do that, what is He sending you and me to do? Same thing. Are we doing a pretty good job at it? We ain't doing too good a job at it, are we? You know, if you'd asked me a few years ago when I was in the Baptist church full time, if you'd have walked up to me and said, "How many demons you cast out in the last week?" What's wrong with this guy? Let me get away from him. How many people you healed last week? Well, how many people you prayed for last week? None. See, I didn't know, did I? No, I didn't read the book. I didn't read the book, but after I read the book, then I realized, hey, there's a requirement here. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. In other words, you go and do likewise. It's kind of like, Father, you're supposed to make your son like you, but you're supposed to be a perfect example to him. It's unfortunate that many daddies today are not that example, are they? And then they say, "Oh, son, don't do what I've done. Don't do what I've done. I've done this wrong. I've done that wrong. I messed up in so many ways. Please," and you tell your son, "don't do this." He said, "Oh, Dad, he's just a fool. He's trying to get me not to have fun like he did." Yeah, I want to have fun just like he did. But you don't know, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun, see? And so many of them die young because they never learn what they are supposed to do. But Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." That, if you really set that soak in a little while, that's a pretty awesome statement. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Wow. Then He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Do you think if Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," do you think they received the Holy Spirit? Yeah. I just don't think there's a way in the world you can keep from getting Him. If Jesus just walked up to you and breathed, I think you're going to get Him. I don't care what you do. He's coming in you. You're going to get Him. But these men still had no power. You know, after He breathed on them in John 20, you know what He told them to do in Acts chapter 1? He said, "Go and wait for the coming of the power of the Spirit." Now then, as a Baptist, this is the part I got. This is what I got. When I got saved, Jesus breathed on me and I got the Holy Spirit. But I didn't walk in no miracles, no healings, no casting out demons. None of that stuff was not even revealed to me. But as I began to study the Word, I saw another thing called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I went and asked a lot of my preachers and other companions what they thought about this. And none of them agreed with what the Word says. So one day, I'm at church, and my PhD pastor, he had a graduate degree, PhD from the seminary. He preached against the second event called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget that day. I mean, he was trying his best to preach what they had told him in seminary. Boy, nothing he did that day makes sense. Didn't have no power, with nothing in it. I remember that sermon. I'll remember that as long as I live. But he was trying to do the best he could with what he had been taught. The next morning when I drove by that church on the way to work, I looked around and said, Lord, I believe that man loves you with all his heart. And I said, Lord, I believe he's wrong. I said, Lord, I know he loves you. I serve as a deacon for this guy in his church. But I believe he's totally wrong about the Holy Spirit. And I said, Lord, if what I believe is true, that there is a second event called this baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you please fill me with that Holy Spirit to overflowing right now? And the glory of God came in that pickup truck I was driving down the road in and set me on fire. And I ain't never been the same. When I stepped out of that pickup as a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, I had never witnessed to anybody openly in my life. And I stepped out of my pickup on fire that morning when I got to work. And I walked up the dock, and I'm walking up that ramp, and I said, good morning, son, how are you doing? Now, I'm about 35 years old back in those days, and this boy was about 20. He was delivering oxygen acetylene to the plant. He said, I ain't doing very good. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, my best friend got killed on 35 last night, Sunday night. I wonder what they were doing. I don't know. Maybe out drinking, maybe just somebody else was drinking, but he got killed. I said, did he know Jesus? I don't know. I said, do you know Jesus? He said, I've heard about him. I said, let me tell you about him. And boy, I mean, I was bold and on fire, and I had no problem talking about Jesus. Now, what does the Scripture say you can do if you got the baptism of the infilling power of the Holy Spirit? You're going to sing songs. You're going to be on fire for the King.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.